Okay. No, no, no. If I need. I'm very pleased that this event took place, and I know we owe it to the initiative and the stamina of Gabriel. So also from my part, a big thank you to Gabriel. And I would like to include Daniel Baker. He's the young man sitting next to Stuart Robinson. I think he had a big part in the carrying out of this initiative. For me, this was a great learning process. I was born near in Brandenburg, near the Chateau Sans Souci. And when you are born there, then as a little child, they tell you, along with the fairy tales of the Brothers Grimm, the rule of law. They do this with a certain pride and a lot of exaggeration. And it is probably also wishful thinking and an element of fairy tales. I want to show you a picture. I hope it works now. No, wait, how do I get this picture on? This one.
Yeah, you should double. Let's see.
Okay, yes. This is Sans Souci. Those of you who have been as a tourist to Berlin and then went to Potsdam might have seen it. It's part of the castle and behind it a windmill. And now, Rito, I want to show the second picture. How do I do that? Yeah, okay. This picture shows more what it's all about. Namely, there was the King Frederick II who had built this castle and presumably felt disturbed by the noise of the windmill. And then he wanted to pull the windmill down. And there you see the miller and his family. And the miller points to the king, the law that the king had previously enacted. And this, the rule of law prevented the king from pulling down the windmill. So the law that he himself had put into force. Now when you go to Sanssouci, you can still see the windmill, and you can see thus the impact of the rule of law. Therefore, I must say I was surprised to learn that the rule of law only slowly and over time made it into the multilateral system. But after having read the book, or better to say the printing proofs that Gabriel gave to me, I understand a lot better. Also, after having heard the panelists this morning, I can understand a lot better why it took so long for the rule of law to establish itself. I also learned that there may be very many concepts of the rule of law. And after all, we are dealing with sovereign states. And accepting the rule of law is like accepting that you renounce, that you give up policy space. And we know how much it takes us in these DDA negotiations to give up policy space. We find it in general difficult to submit ourselves to the uncertain outcome of the application of abstract rules. What also struck me during reading the book and listening today was the animosity towards lawyers. This came as a surprise to me. People, I learned, did not want to be told by lawyers what they may do and what they may not do. This is also linked to the unwillingness to give up the creative space that could be used for an informal dispute settlement. Dispute settlement, as we have learned now, was at that time not about assuring the proper application of the rules so that you would not determine whose trade practice was outside the legal frame. The main aim was the settlement of the conflict and to provide harmonious outcome, even if it was outside the rules. I learned this morning that you had to face reality and produce something that would be accepted by the parties, accepted by the members. So I understand that it was not self-evident that there should obviously be the rule of law, as I thought, along with the fairy tales of the Brothers Grimm and what they tell us about King Frederick. Settlement that was done in those days was probably only possible in a small community, and as we learned, the gut felt like a club, or perhaps like a family, and if you're lucky, but only if you're lucky, you can take this approach within the boundaries of an extended family. So I accept that it was a difficult process to actually introduce the rule of law in the GATT and then in the WTO. By the way, the king that I mentioned was also instrumental in introducing a comprehensive code of law. The ambition was to take care of any possible case and draft the legislation in such a way that it would be easily understood and applied. There was even an ambition to put the law in the form of rhymes and verses and make the population learn it by heart. It was directed against the lawyers. They wanted to keep the lawyers out and allow only a very limited interpretation of the rules. This was distrust against the finesse of the lawyers that might produce an unwanted and surprising result. So I understand that it was not easy for the rule of law to establish itself in the multilateral trading system, neither that it was easy for the lawyers to gain recognition and be fully accepted as useful. This morning I learned from Frieda Rösler that the lawyers took this evolution from being unwanted to being accepted to being indispensable, which is still not a compliment. But now, in the dispute settlement, we have also heard this, dispute settlement, largely relying on lawyers, is now the crown jewel of the WTO. So what more can you ask for? The rule of law and the lawyers have gained a well-respected place, and I am in charge of finance and human resources. I felt addressed a number of times. We have to treat you better, Ricardo, and also Deborah. You pointed out that we should put a bigger effort in, allocating resources to the system. So I would have closed if I hadn't heard Jennifer Hillman this morning, that this is part of the 20-year celebration, and I wish us wisdom and good luck for the next 20 years, but I want to say after what I heard this morning, I wish us wisdom and luck for the next 800 years.
Yes.
Thank you very much.